Power's good.
For more than 2 hours, four members of the U.S. Coast Guard sat in an MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter, battling blistering 50-mile-per-hour headwinds.
We just need to get them out of those.
Yeah.
Like, quicker the better, and I think...
They were responding to an emergency signal. A boat was sinking in Union Bay.
I got a mortar of 3.
They just spotted a lone figure clinging to a piece of debris. Seas were rough in the expanse of water between Ketchikan and Wrangell. Waves as tall as houses made it difficult to keep eyes on the figure, which was protected by a survival suit.
And as we made our approach to the flashing light, we lost sight of the survivor in the water with our cameras.
Coast Guard pilot Lieutenant Justin Neal was in charge of the mission.
And so there's a brief moment there where we were in a hover in high winds, seas were 10 to 12 feet, trying to maintain a stable hover, and then trying to relocate the survivor in the water. We knew he was very close to us, but there was a moment there, maybe 5 minutes, where we were frantically searching with our cameras to try to find him again.
You guys ready to do this thing? Are you ready?
Yeah, swimmer's ready.
Once the crew spotted the man again, Petty Officer Grant Roberts was lowered into the water, where he spent about 20 minutes in the pitch dark trying to reach the man, who was clinging to something in the rolling waves. In a video released by the Coast Guard, Roberts reaches the floating debris. Roberts helps the man into the water and lays behind him in a sort of Jack and Rose at the bow of the Titanic pose.
They are in the water in hold position.
Oh. But it never occurred to me anybody was going to come and get me.
70-year-old Kurt Broderson says when he saw his 42-foot boat, named Irony, taking on water, he'd donned his survival suit, planning to abandon ship in the skiff. By the time he got his suit on, the skiff had sunk too.
The hatch cover was floating off, and I got on the hatch covering, and my plan was to just stay there until it took me wherever the weather was going to take me. But when I got about halfway across Union Bay, I saw this red light in the sky, and I remember thinking, I wonder what those guys are doing out in this miserable conditions. And after a while, I realized they were looking for me.
Although Broderson says he hadn't checked the batteries in the rescue beacon in a few years, his EPIRB was still working. That stands for Emergency Position Indicating Radio Beacon. It can automatically transmit a radio signal that rescuers hone in on. As it went down with the ship on November 1st, the EPIRB started transmitting at precisely 4:46 p.m. A Sitka-based Coast Guard helicopter crew was in the air and on the hunt within half an hour. Jimmy Schwatter was on the mission that night.
That was probably the worst seas that I ever hoisted in.
The hoist is what's used to lower a rescue swimmer down into the sea.
Swimmer and survivor are clear of the water, and you're clear back and left.
After more than 3 hours in the frigid bay, Broderson was lifted out of the water. As he and the rescue swimmer dangled from the hovering Jayhawk helicopter, Schwatter carefully spooled the two up. Lieutenant Neal has been an armed forces pilot for 14 years. He says the high winds, 10 to 12 foot waves, and pitch black made it tough to find someone.
This is probably the most challenging conditions that I've flown in and is absolutely the most challenging rescue that I've been able to prosecute.
Broderson was fortunate to get to Ketchikan's hospital when he did. He'd had a heart attack and was suffering from hypothermia and cold-induced rhabdomyolysis, a kind of muscle death. He's since been released from the hospital but remains in town. Doctors wanted to keep him nearby for observation, especially since Broderson has epilepsy. But it was no accident that Broderson had taken his boat out into open water during a storm. After retiring from commercial fishing, Broderson lived full-time on the Irony. The property where he would usually anchor, the boat is exposed. He calls the area the blowhole.
It's really bad willows, which are dangerous winds. And if I know it's going to blow, I get out of there. I go up into the head of Union Bay and anchor, which I thought was supposed to be safe.
The veteran mariner isn't sure what went wrong on board. The anchored 42-foot steel-hulled vessel would usually be fine in rough seas.
It'll lay over, but then it'll right itself because of the buoyancy of the boat. And this one, and it didn't right itself, and I don't know what happened. And after a few seconds, I thought, well, I don't know what to do. I'm going to start the engine and put it in gear and get the bow into the weather, and the engine wouldn't start. It's the first time it's ever failed to start. Apparently, there was already water filling up the engine room.
Broderson says he lost everything in the shipwreck.
Which is in a way, it's sort of liberating because I'm starting fresh with just the clothes I'm wearing. The problem that I'm having is I don't exactly have a goal for the rest of my life, but, you know, maybe something will occur to me.
The Coast Guard says there's no trace of the irony. The only sign of the boat was the hatch cover Brodersen had clung to and the EPIRB signal. A friend offered to help him search for the fishing boat that had been his home for decades. He's not interested in salvaging it.
I was afraid I'd find it, and then I'd have this unholy mess to try to clean up.
The offer of help was appreciated, though. Brodersen was stunned by how many other offers there have been since the calamity.
In some ways, it was one of the best events of my life. For one thing, I don't have to do all the maintenance on the boat anymore. And for another thing, so many people tried so hard to help me, offering me places to stay and everything, really. I mean, it's been kind of a unique event in my life.
Brodersen says he hasn't decided what he'll do next. He's still getting medical treatment in Ketchikan and working out his epilepsy treatment. Normally, this time of year, he'd be anchored in the Zamovia Strait, looking at Wrangell Island.
Guess I won't be doing that anymore.
Brodersen and the Coast Guard say the somewhat miraculous rescue is really thanks to the EPIRB. If you're going out on the water, they say, make sure it's working. Fresh batteries might save your life. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.